Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports, and joining us now is Tennessee Titans General Manager Rand Carthon. Rand, I know it has been a whirlwind of a weekend, a whirlwind of the last few weeks, so really appreciate your time and appreciate you joining us. Trading up to take Will Levis in the second round, I can only assume that you can hope that he becomes the quarterback of the future for the Tennessee Titans. So if you do feel that way, why pass on Will Levis at 11?
First of all, I think Will will determine what his future is here. We're just in the business of, acquiring good football players and letting them work it out from there. Passing on him at 11, we've talked about, did not think that a player that we liked, like Peter, would be there for us at 11. He was a player that we thought highly of, that we had highly rated, and just didn't think he would be there in 11. And when he was, it was just an easy choice.
We're talking with Rand Carthon, Tennessee Titans GM. Now, Rand, obviously, you drafted Skronoski in the first round, then you come back and draft Will Levis. But from your background, because I look at it from this standpoint, I loved all plays. But there were certain plays that I really loved more than the others because I felt this is more in line with what I love to do. Is that sort of how you approach it with the later rounds because of you coming up in the scouting ranks and having to scout those guys outside of the first round?
Yeah, I think it all plays a part. We joked, but there was a level of seriousness there entering the last day, the night before. We were like, all right, now it's time for the scouts and assistant coaches to have fun. And those guys, they put in a tremendous amount of work together. Our coaches and our scouts of working together to help us, better surround, that last day of the draft. And, when you're entering those later rounds and you know that the college free agency part is, coming and, you have guys that you're pretty certain will, have a crazy market, that you're going to have to chase and out-recruit and, outbid, it's usually just best to go ahead and just draft that person. And so, approaching those last couple of rounds, we wanted to get players that we felt good about them as people, but then they had a level of talent that we were excited to work with and help develop.
Rand Carthon is with us. Rand, I'm going to nerd out for 1 second because I grew up in New York and I watched a lot of New Jersey Generals football. I'm just the perfect age. I watched a young Maurice Carthon, who was a really good runner, an underrated runner in that league. And then, of course, I was a Giants fan as well, so I watched him be the guy, the winning guy who did all the dirty work and stuff like that. So I was just so excited when you got this job because I just immediately thought about all those memories of those great Giants teams.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I grew up under. Some of my favorite times are being with my dad and his former teammates and just getting to be a fly on the wall and hear those, all those old Giants stories. Or when I come across Pepper Johnson or Carl Banks or Joe Morris or running into LT, when I'm down in South Florida, get to hear all those good old war stories. It's the back in the day football, if you will, So I live it every day, and it's fun, and just like you're having, what you just called your nerd moment to be on the phone with, Derek, just knowing him as a player, having watched him, and then, on the back end of his career, scouting him, It's crazy for me to experience this now.
So here's a question for you, Rand. You've been through a lot of these drafts, right, in your particular role for your team. So what was, as you look back on it, I'm sure you'll reflect on it as the days go by here, but just sitting in the chair that you're in now where you're kind of making the calls here, what was it like for you going through it? How much different?
Obviously it was different because you're the one making the call and you're now responsible, But I'll say this, man, I have a great partner in Mike, and it was great to have someone with his experience to lean on and, talk things through as we're approaching picks and, understanding, the way the board is shaped and how things could go. So I leaned on that, leaned on him, leaned on other people in the room. But more than anything, when I woke up that morning, you know, you wake up to an influx of texts and calls of how do you feel? Are you nervous? Are you excited? You know, and you know, I know Derek could attest to this. You know, when you score your first touchdown or you make your first big play and you're celebrating, you're excited, most of your coaches grab you and tell you to act like you've been there before, you know. And so when I woke up draft day morning, that was the first thought I had was act like you've been there before. And so rather than getting too high or too low, I just try to act like I've been there before.
And sometimes, Rand, that's hard to do because it's like, man, I haven't been here before. You know?
Right.
So we're talking to Titans GM Rand Carthon. Now, as the draft went along, Rand, you know, we got a lot of calls and a lot of texts. Why aren't the Titans drafting a receiver? Why aren't the Titans drafting a receiver? Eventually, you end up drafting a receiver in the second round. You not drafting a receiver, or you and the coaching staff not drafting a receiver early, does that mean you guys believe in the depth that you have at that position, or you believe in the progress in a Phillips or a Racy McMath, and then another year with Treylon Burks?
I mean, for one, we'll say we believe in our guys that we have here, you know, or they wouldn't be on our roster. But, you know, it's to fill a roster, it takes patience. Right. And just because something is a need, you know, you have to find the best value to fill that need. You don't want to reach just because it's a need, you know. And again, when you're in that room and you're looking at this board and you're allowing it to organically take place, you know, you see things where you're like, hey, yes, we have a need, but a player that's sticking out, you know, that's standing out on your board, you don't want to pass up on the opportunity to get a good football player. You know, this player acquisition part isn't over. You know, we went through free agency first and we addressed some needs, and you know, I'm pretty sure people were upset that we didn't do certain things in free agency, and then, you know, the draft just came and we addressed certain spaces there. But just because free agency, the initial part of free agency and the draft have come through, doesn't mean that player acquisition part is over. We don't have to get down to 53 until September. You know, so we're entering another phase of player acquisition, and we'll continue to, you know, work and address all the places that we have needs to get the best people on our roster.
Tennessee Titans general manager Rand Carthon is with us. Rand, I watched that Tulane USC game, and Tajay Spears was cooking. Man, he was fun to watch in that game. But understanding the injury history with Tajay Spears and how much this team has struggled with injury over the past couple of years, what made you comfortable about bringing him into this team, and where do you see his role developing over the next few years?
You know, Tajay, we had a really, really strong and great visit with him when we brought him in, you know, on the 30 visit. He felt like one of us when Mike and I sat down and talked to him. And then just in terms of his medical, you know, spending our time with Todd Torricelli, our head trainer, and our doctors, we understand what the risks were, but we feel good about, you know, not only him and his knee moving forward, but, you know, the help that we could give him to maximize, you know, his ability to play in practice. You know, again, all these players will determine their roles on this team. You know, our job is to get them here, and from here, once they get here, you know, you got to step out on the grass and go earn it. There are guys that are on the field now that have been working. We just wrapped up, you know, our first on-field session. So, you know, there are guys out here that have been working. And, you know, and Derek could attest to this, you know, you're not looking for any young buck to come in and take your job. So, you know, regardless of their draft status, so it's going to, you got to come in and compete. You know, Tajay will, you know, determine the rest. So that's our approach.
Rand Carthon is with us. Rand, we just had a really spirited debate. I was going at Derek in the last segment before you came on. But a caller brought up just the whole supporting cast question, right? It's an age-old question. We can use quarterback, but you can also use Colton Dowell. You're evaluating him in mostly OVC competition. He did have the game against Tennessee. But when a player is surrounded with loaded talent as opposed to a guy that maybe has more challenges in that area, how do you try to level the playing field? What's your philosophy on that?
For me, it's, you know, I think it's as simple as if it's a player that, you know, may be playing at a quote-unquote lower level, and if they're dominating that, you know, that level, then in my eyes, they're doing what they're supposed to do. you know, in terms of being good, and then how do they respond and react, you know, when they play, you know, a higher level competition. You know, the one thing about Colton when he came in here for his local day, you know, workout, he looked and felt like an NFL player to us when he came in. And so it wasn't about, you know, where he played or how small the school was or the level of competition. When he took the field, he was able to pick up on the concepts that, you know, Coach Rob Moore was working with him on. He picked him up immediately, applied him to his game, and he just felt like an NFL receiver to us.
So how would that apply to quarterback for a guy like Will Levis? Because that's what a lot of people were saying. Well, the talent drop-off around him was different last year as opposed to 2 years ago.
Well, I think for Will, it was, you know, it was a bunch of different things that came in. You know, he had a new offensive coordinator. You know, he played through some injuries, you know, had a young receiving core, you know, and all those things. You know, what happened at Kentucky, you know, obviously we don't have a hand in that. We can't, you know, say anything to that. But our job, you know, will be and continue to be to surround him with as many great players, you know, as possible, because it's just not one person that's going to, you know, win a ball game for us. It's going to be everybody. So it's our job to, no matter what his skill level is or how great, you know, we think or he thinks he can be, we just have to continue to surround him with great players.
Now, my last question for you, Rand, I'm sure, or have you, or did you see the Dallas pick of Deuce Vaughn and the coach being able to draft his son? I'm sure that was a special moment for him. And I hear a lot of you every time we hear you talk, you reference your dad. So I know how highly you think of him. That moment has to be special. What do you think about it?
Man, it was amazing. It was so, so cool. And especially because, you know, the Vaughn family are really close friends of ours, you know, me and my family. You know, the last time I saw Deuce, you know, in person outside of seeing him at the combine or not, Deuce was 7 years old. His dad, Chris, is one of my really good friends. His dad's sister, Shanae, and my wife are really close. You know, his grandfather, Matthew, and his grandmother, like, we're all, like, really good family friends. So, you know, at that moment when we saw it happening, like, it just warmed my heart. And I immediately, you know, shot, you know, Chris a text and told him it was, in my mind, it was the greatest moment, you know, of the weekend. And so even my wife and I were, like, still talking about it. And then as the video came out, you know, it was even more amazing. And, you know, I actually had the opportunity, and ironically, it was with the Dallas Cowboys my rookie year when my dad coached there. They signed me to the practice squad, so my dad was my position coach for the Dallas Cowboys back in 2004. So we kind of share that cool moment.
So I guess it's not like, you know, because I tried to coach my son, and albeit he was, you know, 10, 11, it was like, man, oh, I'm done. I can't coach you. I'm going to let somebody else coach you.
Nah, I didn't, Derek, I didn't say it worked with my dad. I just said that we had the moment, you know. And it was, trust me, it was a brief time. I was only on the practice squad for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And when I got the opportunity to leave, there was nothing that could have kept me there, you know. But nonetheless, you know, we had the moment where my dad coached me.
Might make family dinners a little bit awkward in that time. Titans General Manager Rand Carthon is with us. Rand, there's still a lot of work to be done, but looking back on your first draft as the general manager of the Tennessee Titans, how do you feel about how the process went, and how do you feel about how the roster is constructed now that the draft is in the rear view?
I think the process was, you know, it was a good process. It was efficient, and it was the combination of, you know, the way I've done things, the way Chad's done things, and the way things have been done here. You know, for me, I forever say I'm fortunate to come in with the culture that's already established, with the work that Mike's put in here, and what it means and what it looks like to be a Tennessee Titan. So instead of coming in with a new head coach, new GM, where you have to try to establish these things, you know, this was already established. And then my history and how I was brought up in this league was under the same system that J. Rob implemented here. So I didn't have to come in and learn a new language. You know, I knew the language and was able to just insert myself and understand how to, you know, how this, things in the system were set up. So I was, you know, I was lucky to come into the situation that I did. You know, again, like we talked about with the roster, it's not complete yet in terms of, you know, making moves. We're going to continue to, you know, evaluate, you know, guys as they come through. You know, we weren't the only team drafting this past weekend. So, you know, other teams are going to have to continue to make moves to fill out their roster, which means players are going to come available for us. And we'll continue to do the work to make sure that we get the best, you know, 90 players in the camp to allow us to make the best decision and put the best 53 on the field come September.
Last question for you, Rand. There were several reports that were coming out leading up to the draft night and on draft night saying that you had intentions of trading up to number 3 overall. Were those reports correct? And did you have any intention of those intentions getting out, of those that plan getting out?
Well, I mean, you know, draft season is filled with rumors. You know, if you go back to the beginning of me being here, we were trading Jeffrey Simmons. You know, we've been trading Derrick Henry and Ryan, and we've been trading everybody since I got here. But, you know, the whole time when we were supposedly trading Jeffrey, we were working on a deal, and we got the deal done, and all those things went away. So, you know, just like anything else, we were calling around, just gauging teams' interest to see where, you know, what teams are willing to do. And I said it in the pre-draft press conference, you know, that time of year is all about everybody being nosy, and that doesn't exclude myself. I was being nosy too, you know, trying to figure out what teams were doing above and below us to allow us to maximize the value of the 11th pick and be able to figure out who's going to actually be there for us, right? So, yeah, we made calls up and down. A lot of it was just exploratory, just to see where it was. But we have to keep in mind that we only had 6 draft picks, you know, and so we wanted to be able to maximize whatever picks we had.
Tennessee Titans general manager Rand Carthon. Rand, really appreciate your time. Hoping you can at least get a little bit of shut-eye over the next couple of days.
You and me both. So it's like, you know, the draft ended. And, you know, one thing Scott Pioli told myself and Chad Brinker back at the combine, he was like, every day 3 to 5 things come up that you're not prepared for. You know, and then it's like the adage of what Mike Tyson says, everybody has a plan, you know, till you get punched in the mouth. So my goal for the rest of time is to, you know, work on my bob and weave and make sure I don't get punched in the mouth. So
awesome. Thank you, Rand. We'll chat with you soon.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Yep.
All right. We will react to what Rand Carthon had to say there on the other side and your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.